Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson. With me is Nathan Fox. Together, we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Mario.
Yeah, we've got a very lengthy but thoughtful email from Mario. He says, "Hi, Nathan and Ben. After listening to episode 339 of your podcast, I thought you could also benefit from primary sources that explain why and how the race and ethnicity data is collected and reported by law schools. The way that law schools collect and report the data is ultimately based on the standards set by the Office of Management and Budget under the executive branch, not necessarily on citizens' current sentiment," which might have been what we were speculating about on the show.
Okay.
So, bunch of links here, and we'll figure out how to post these in the show notes, but there's something from federalregister.gov called Final Guidance on Maintaining, Collecting, and Reporting Racial and Ethnic Data to the U.S. Department of Education. Then we have the latest, which was, 1997. Huh. OBM revisions to the standards for the classification of federal data on race and ethnicity. That was a ObamaWhiteHouse.archives.gov link. Well, I guess that wasn't Obama that did it then, but
okay.
I don't know why maybe that's just the link that Mario happened to have.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Obama if it was 97.
Links at the White House weren't updated after the last term. I don't know.
Defining race and ethnicity data, that's from the National Center for Education and Statistics. For the purposes of law schools' data collection,
okay,
it says if you're Black or African American, that is a person having origins in any of the Black racial groups of Africa. Terms such as Haitian or Negro can be used in addition to Black or African American. And then for white, it says a person having origins in any of the original peoples. Oh, my God. Original peoples of Europe, the Middle East, or North Africa.
Hmm. That's what we were talking about. We were talking about Egypt, right?
Yeah. We were talking about North Africa. Yeah. So the data might not reflect an individual's actual race and ethnic identity, as Quinn pointed out. My interpretation is an applicant who represents that they are Hispanic or Latino and Black or African American will just be reported as Hispanic of any race. An individual from Egypt who represents that they are not a U.S. permanent resident or U.S. citizen will just be reported as non-resident alien, regardless of their representation on race and ethnicity. The standards, in effect, explain why the latest ABA 509 report from Harvard Law says that only 11 out of 594 individuals who graduated from Harvard Law in 2021 have two or more races.
Okay.
Another interesting fact is that Hispanics of any race are included in the total number of people of color. So you could be Hispanic, Caucasian, person of color. Fortunately, the current administration is reviewing and revising the standards. And then we have a link here. This was June 15th, 2022, called Reviewing and Revising Standards for Maintaining, Collecting, and Presenting Federal Data on Race and Ethnicity by Dr. Karen Orvis, the chief statistician of the United States. Damn. So it's a statement about what Dr. Karen Orvis is working on.
Okay.
Lastly, I want to say that I appreciate your work with the podcast and LSAT Demon. Oh, well, thank you, Mario. Appreciate you. Thanks for all the links. This is obviously an issue that Ben and I know nothing about. We are interested in learning more. You, all of the listeners continue to shed light on this issue. What do you think, Ben?
The classifications are what they are. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the answers for if you're individually looking to check boxes on your law school application, if you have an issue like our Egyptian correspondent did, you probably want to look through all of this stuff and figure out how it applies exactly to you. It seems clear that there is not really that much of a clear. I don't think it's possible for us to educate ourselves so much that we're able to like just answer questions for people. It seems like they're going to have to go look at this stuff and answer their own questions. Boxes to check on what application.
And how many people make mistakes on these boxes anyway? So like, how much does this matter?
Yeah. Please don't take that as a license to purposely make a mistake, because
not saying that. I'm just saying, like, if someone's, you know, losing sleep over it, it's probably okay to just do what you think is probably your best fit and then move forward. Like, I don't want you to get stuck on a box.
Yeah.
When you're applying to school.
I'm assembling stuff for my taxes every year, I am reminded of, you know, that study that they did where they gave like 20 CPAs the exact same tax filing and they got back 20 different numbers. And it's just like, well, okay, you're doing your best, but there's lots of gray, there's just interpretation everywhere. So you do your best to comply. And then, you know, if you ever get audited, which here it would be like in a character and fitness check down the road somewhere, you want to be able to represent that you did your very best to answer the questions truthfully.
Yep, exactly.
Thanks, Mario, for writing in.
Yeah, email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.